Welcome to SCOTUSCast. On June 12, 2008, the court decided Republic of the Philippines v. Pimentel, a case involving a dispute over the assets of former Philippine President Ferdinand Marcos. The court held that under Rule 19 of the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure, a case involving an interpleader action involving assets allegedly stolen by Ferdinand Marcos could not proceed in the absence, as parties, of the Government of the Philippines and its Presidential Commission on Good Governance, which had been dismissed from the action on grounds of sovereign immunity. In this episode of SCOTUSCast, Vince Witowski, a partner in Edwards, Engel, Palmer, and Dodge, discusses the case. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Witowski.
Philippines versus Pimentel began as an interpleader action concerning a Merrill Lynch account containing assets allegedly stolen by the late dictator of the Philippines, Ferdinand Marcos. The government of the Philippines was dismissed from the action on grounds of sovereign immunity. It then argued that the entire action should be dismissed and that the status of the assets should be determined by its own anti-corruption court. The district court disagreed and allowed the action to proceed. It ordered that the assets be distributed to a class of human rights victims who had prevailed in an action in the U.S. against the Marcos estate. The Ninth Circuit affirmed, but the Supreme Court reversed. The decision centered around the interplay of the doctrine of sovereign immunity and Rule 19B of the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure, which addresses whether an action may proceed without a party who should be joined, if feasible. Justice Kennedy delivered the opinion of the court, with six other justices concurring in entirety. The Supreme Court held that the interpleader should be dismissed and the assets should stay with Merrill Lynch for the present time. It found that the Ninth Circuit gave insufficient weight to the sovereign status of the Philippines. Here is the opinion's core passage. Comity and dignity interests take concrete form in this case. The claims of the Philippines arise from events of historical and political significance for the Philippines and its people. The Philippines has a unique interest in resolving the ownership of or claims to the assets and in determining if and how the assets should be used to compensate those persons who suffered grievous injury under Marcos. There is a comity interest in allowing a foreign state to use its own courts for a dispute if it has a right to do so. The dignity of a foreign state is not enhanced if other nations bypass its courts without right or good cause. Now, the court further held that once it was recognized that the Philippines' claims to the assets were not frivolous, those claims should not have been addressed on their merits. The Ninth Circuit had determined that the claims would not succeed because any suit would be time-barred by New York rules on the misappropriation of public assets. The Supreme Court disagreed, noting that if the Philippine Anti-Corruption Court rules that the Philippines owns the assets, New York misappropriation rules might not apply. The Philippines could then sue Merrill Lynch, arguing that the statute of limitations starts to run if and when Merrill Lynch refuses to hand over the assets. Or the Philippines might bring an action to enforce the Philippines' judgment. The court said it need not predict the outcomes of these scenarios. The court also interpreted some of the key terms of Rule 19B. One Rule 19B factor is whether a judgment rendered without the absent party would be adequate. The Ninth Circuit understood adequacy to refer to satisfaction of the human rights victims' claims, but the Supreme Court held that adequacy refers to the public stake in settling disputes by wholes whenever possible. It found that going forward with the action would not further this public interest because the Philippines would not be bound by the judgment. Another Rule 19B factor is whether the plaintiff would have an adequate remedy if the action were dismissed. The Ninth Circuit focused on the human rights victims, but the Supreme Court found that this assumed incorrectly that the plaintiff was the class of human rights victims. In fact, the plaintiff was Merrill Lynch as the stakeholder in the interpleader. The court found that dismissal would provide Merrill Lynch with an effective defense against piecemeal litigation and inconsistent conflicting judgments. In any later suit against it, Merrill Lynch could seek to join the Philippines, and should the Philippines again assert sovereign immunity, the action would again be dismissed. The court also noted that if the Philippine Anti-Corruption Court rules that the Philippines has no right to the assets, the claims of the Philippines in some later interpleader would be less substantial than they are now. Although the court recognized that in the usual course, it would reverse and remand for further proceedings, in this case it went farther, holding that its analysis compelled that the action be dismissed at this point. Justice Stevens and Justice Souter each concurred in part and dissented in part and issued separate opinions. Rather than order dismissal now, each would have reversed and remanded for further proceedings, in which the Ninth Circuit should order the District Court to stay the action pending a reasonably prompt decision of the Philippine Anti-Corruption Court. Justice Stevens wrote that he would not have given near dispositive effect to the sovereign status of the Philippines, because that is a more inflexible approach than Rule 19 contemplates. Also in his opinion, Justice Stevens identified facts concerning the conduct of the district judge which reflected a level of personal involvement and a desire to control the Marcos proceedings that created at least a colorable basis for concerns about his impartiality. So both Justice Stevens and Justice Souter would have also ordered that the case be reassigned to a new district judge. At bottom, this case can be seen as a strong pronouncement in favor of sovereignty. It accepted the view that U.S. courts should defer to other nations and their courts on matters concerning the vital interests of those other nations. This case may also have implications in the pending litigation in the U.S. against corporations for their alleged support of the South African apartheid regime. That litigation has been objected to by both the South African government and the U.S. government. The lower courts may find support in this decision for the view that they should defer to those objections. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video from past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at federalistsociety.org/multimedia.